You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about finance for business owners. And to do that, we're joined by George Waterfield of Matthews Comfort, Chris Morris of NGI Finance and Nick Longford of DSA Prospect. This is the Business Brunch. We'll be talking to our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking about finance for business owners, and we are joined by three absolute experts here in Oxfordshire, three really, really great, well-established businesses. So let's start by introducing them. George, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay. For those who don't know you and don't know the business, enlighten them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my name is George Waterfield. I'm a director and financial planner at Matthews Comfort Financial Services, based out here in North Lee. I mean, our role really is actually quite simple. It's to help our clients gain control of their lives through great financial planning. And we've done it for, when we started the financial service arm back in the 80s, and continue to pursue this vision in the future.
Amazing. Next up, Chris. Similar to George, introduce yourself and NGI, please.
I'm Chris Morris. I own a business called NGI Finance. We are commercial finance brokers. So we help businesses find debt, specifically debt for businesses. We've been doing for 20 years. My background is I used to work and run a business for Lloyds for many years prior to doing this. And we work predominantly, we're based in West Oxfordshire and Witney, and the majority of our clients are all in the Thames Valley.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Nick, introduce yourself.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, so I'm Nick Longford. I'm a director at DSA Prospect. We are a full service accountancy practice based in Witney. We're about 15 years old now, well established in the local and wider community. And work very closely with Chris and George, another sort of trusted advisors around the full business scope, really. So,
Amazing. Nick, I'm going to stay with you first with the short straw. As with George and Chris later in the show, you've kindly become a radio DJ for a moment. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Not necessarily because it's the end of January, but I'm going to go with Panic by The Smiths, if that's okay. A band I love, and something about the uplifting music and the downness of the lyrics that strike something with me. But if possible, I go with that.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Nick, we've heard from our three experts and from local firms who are doing a great job under the umbrella of finance. So George, I'm really keen to start with quite a big question. Why are personal finances so important for business owners?
Oh, it's a great question, Ben. I think it starts with, the knowing your number and understanding why you're working towards a certain goal. We know that in today's world, time, freedom are limited. In fact, our view sort of time has become a luxury. And helping someone understand their current financial position, helping them understand what they need to do to achieve the life they want to achieve, can also then tie in what they need to do with the business. And sort of when we work with people, we have these discovery meetings, and we sort of uncover, what's really important and what's really driving every decision they make. And then it's about trying to help them achieve that through the use of their own personal planning, whether it's pensions, investments, those sorts of things, or securing their lifestyle if they fall ill. And then it's also helping them tie what they need the business to do for them to also achieve those personal things.
No, amazing. Chris, I'm keen to talk about debt. I think debt is, for some business owners, a scary word, but in for a lot, it enables us to really grow and really achieve the business goals. What are some of the things to kind of consider when looking at debt and considering borrowing money in the nicest possible way?
How long have you got? So I think if you're a business about to consider borrowing, give yourself time. We see too many clients where it's knee-jerk. So plan ahead for your investment. Make sure that you have information to hand that is accurate. And by that, I mean accounts. Obviously, you know, your financial accounts, and they are current. You understand them and are able to talk about them. Your other, you know, your accounts have been filed on time. If there are any issues within your business, be overt about them. Tell, you know, but be on the front foot with it. You know, we and lenders don't like finding out about issues by default. We need to know upfront. Be reasonable. Don't be requesting an amount of debt that is way beyond. You've got to justify why you're looking to borrow and have rationale around the requirement for the funds. Be able to demonstrate and talk about what you're going to use them for. How it's going to assist your business and grow your business. So they're just a few things, Ben. I'm sure we'll elaborate on that further into the discussion, but they're the things that immediately come to mind.
No, absolutely. One of the things that I know, Chris, you do a lot with your clients, particularly on the franchise side as well, is build that solid business plan. And Nick, I'm really keen to bring that across you, and I'm sure Chris and George will have thoughts on that. How important is the business plan, and how big part of that business plan should be personal finance and business finance? Where does that all fit in?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely important. I mean, the extent to which, you know, businesses, certainly smaller and medium-sized businesses, formalize it is varies, certainly. But, you know, a business plan can be a wide-ranging thing. You know, that can be a formal document that, you know, everyone sat down and signed and adhered to and gone into quite a bit of detail. Or to be honest, at least just a vision for where you want the business to go. But, you know, it's a great idea for every business to have some form of plan rather than just going into it and seeing what happens one day to the next, again, sort of formally or otherwise. Chris touched on a good point there as well, you know, that part of his role in sourcing in debt and similar is around the quality of information. And so, you know, tied to the fact of having some sort of business plan there, I think, you know, a key thing when considering debt and taking it on is to make sure that your record keeping is up to date. And that needs to be an integral part of that business plan as well. Without decent records, it makes Chris's job very difficult, but also it really makes your decision-making as a business owner very difficult as well, because you don't necessarily, poor records don't necessarily lead to good decision-making, be that to take on debt or from a wider basis from a business plan side. So, you know, in conclusion, extremely important and tailored to the size and complexity of the business, really.
Absolutely. And George, one of the things I know you're very good at with your clients is looking at that full picture. So looking at their life, their business, the connections around it. How important is it to have that end in mind? How important is it to have that strategy of when are you going to exit? What are you going to take over a period of time? When are you going to take it? What are you going to leave in the business? And how do you get to that point?
It's a great question. Yeah, I mean, it's vital. I mean, I think, you know, when you sort of you're talking about the business plans and things like that, you know, it's about being deliberate. You know, what specifically are you going towards? And what are the key most important things? But also then you've got the, you know, when we're talking with individuals about what they want, it's about knowing your number. It's about translating what you want to do to you know, money on a page in some ways, so that you know you can begin to make sensible, secure decisions, I suppose, in, you know, when it comes to the exit strategy down the line. And how do you want to exit? You know, are you having to put yourself in a position where you're exiting just purely on the most value, or are you able to look at something like an MBO, you know, management buyout, using your team to potentially buy you out, retaining the culture of the business in a more secure, potentially more secure way?
Really interesting. And Chris, I'm really keen to I touched on it earlier, but I'm really keen to get onto franchises if that's okay, because I think it's a different end of the business journey. I think on shows like this and conversations, we often the word exit is used, isn't it? But when you're talking about a startup or franchise, it's really those early foundations. What are some of the foundations you can put into an early stage business that is going to enable them to make money, enable them to secure debt in the future, being able to, for them to exit and live in sunny Spain?
Do you mean specifically on franchise here, Ben?
Well,
Franchise.
franchise or a startup, either's fine. Take it whichever way you like. It's just more about those foundations in terms of making it a clean business, as Nick and George have touched on from that kind of early stage.
Well, I think from if we look at a, you know, if you were to buy a franchise, you're buying essentially a proven business model, which as part of your diligence you would investigate and kind of say, well, is that the right fit for me? But with that, the upside to that is you're reducing your risk as a business owner, because you're buying that model and it's proven, so your likelihood of success, and your likelihood of survival is greater than you doing it off your own back, if you like. But coming around to the foundations, it's really having a solid, doing solid diligence around what you were looking to achieve. Know your market, know your competitors, have investment. You're able to contribute to what I would say is what Nick and I would say is that as an opening balance sheet, you do have some money to go into the business, and indeed a buffer for the likelihood of you not earning anything for maybe 3 or 6 months, and how are you going to survive, and giving thought to that, being consistent, and I would say kind of taking a very medium term view. Don't expect to start a business and then think, right, I'm going to be making a fortune in 6, 9 months. You've got to be thinking personally 18 months, 2 years down the line, and be mindful of that on two fronts. One, not get too worried if it's not going to plan after 12 months, because lots of businesses don't perform. But secondly, just manage your own expectations and be of the right mindset around that, if you like.
No, really, really good advice. Really, really good advice. Chris, I want to stay with you. Nick's at a high bar. Can you match it? What's your song choice? Why did you pick it?
It's called Life's What You Make It by Talk Talk. You lot were probably not even born when this was released. It was 1986. And whilst the title is quite profound and stuff, I'm not saying that's what I say to all my kids and all that. It's just a great song, and it just reminds me of when, I was just thinking, I was just starting to work. I think I might have been doing my A levels or something like that. It's just always been my favourite song.
This is the Business Brunch Podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by three local experts who are talking about the world of finance. They've also got good song choices, and that was a great year, Chris. The best football team in the world won the Milk Kit that year. So very, very good. So Nick, I'm just going to come on to you if that's okay. It's a key time for accountancy, busy period. And I guess if you look at businesses broadly, the businesses that are really successful, what are some of the kind of the key traits from a finance point of view that you see in place? What are those traits of those business leaders?
I think, as Chris alluded to earlier on in the conversation, you know, I think it's around putting yourself in the best position to make the right decisions. Mm. So, you know, there's going back to the debt point again, which, you know, is loosely sort of tied to the point of the conversation. You know, I think the acknowledgement that something like debt, for example, isn't necessarily a negative thing, you know, used properly, it's a remarkably useful tool for a growing business. And I think that's the main thing, is to have the tools around you, be that on an advisory basis, you know, with people like Chris and George and hopefully myself, or the ability to access and analyze information to make good decisions that align with where the business is looking to go. You know, there will be some businesses that you know, I'm sure we've all worked with, that will do okay by just taking a bit of a punt. But generally speaking, the ones that stick around and the ones that tend to do well over the longer term have a goal and, you know, or a plan that can always change, but ones where there's the ability to take a step back, especially when things don't go so well, to take a step back and rather than firefight, sort of consider what the next steps are. And I think that's sort of looking across the range of businesses of size and similar that we work with, the ability to make those decisions, I think, is a really important one.
Absolutely. What's your take on this, Chris?
Echoing everything that Nick says, but in addition, the people that we the people that I meet that are successful, they are laser focused on their market. They know exactly where they sit. They know their customers. They understand the market. They understand their competition. They understand their value and their price, and won't deviate from it. And they're all over their numbers. They know exactly where they are at any moment in time, where they need to be, and have a solid team and structures and systems, CRMs, for example, that all support that, but just really laser focused on their market, looking to grow, but not necessarily deviate, and have strength in what they're and confidence in their business.
Absolutely. And Georgia, I'm keen to gauge your thoughts on the same topic, because I know that, you know, you deal with some very successful people. Yeah. You've been involved in the Oxfordshire Business Awards. What are those kind of consistent traits that you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chris hit the nail on the head. It's that they're experts in their field. And I think what I find they're also very good at is sort of removing that ego from the business. Creating a business which is sustainable without them is, I think, then becomes the next, especially, you know, we talked about exits earlier. You know, if you are going to exit the business and sell the business on, business has to be sustainable without you. Mm. Otherwise, it's not going to be bought for the price you want. I think that's really key, is putting together the processes, the plans, the steps, the team in place that fully ensure the business will continue. That's probably the key things.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm keen to bring the conversation on slightly in terms of, and I appreciate that there isn't a one size fits all, and we're certainly not giving financial advice. My disclaimer there. But I think one of the things we regularly hear on this show and we hear in business is, how much reserve should you keep in your company? How much reserve should you have personally? How much should you invest? How much debt should you borrow? Should you use your own money? Should you not? And I appreciate we can't give a one size fits all, George, but you're going to have the short straw first. What are some of the considerations around those topics?
Yeah, I think on the whole, what you're really looking to do with in terms of certainly on the personal planning side, is to make sure you're secure if the worst things happen. So, you know, make sure your family is secure, that if you were to pass away as a business owner, you know, if the business stops, you know, your family needs some protection. If you're too sick to work, make sure you've got insurance on there. From a cash perspective, you know, what's, you know, how could you survive with 6 months of no income. So that's sort of the general trends we tend to see in the financial planning element, making sure you've got a good 6 months cash reserves there so that you're secure. And you can, in some ways, hopefully relax a bit if the business perhaps isn't doing as well as it needs to.
And Chris, this is, again, your specialist area, particularly around debt. What are some of the factors that you're having conversations with your clients about in terms of whether they're using their own cash or whether they're using, in the nicest possible way, somebody else's?
People who sit on, businesses that sit on reserves, lots of cash, that's great. It gives, you know, whether it's 6 months worth of costs or that nice deposit balances, that's fantastic. And I would never discourage someone to be in that position. However, sometimes there's a cost to using your own cash, in as much that if you're using your own cash and that's going to restrict you from expanding, whereas you could have used some debt, and what I would say, amortize that cost, spread that cost over 4 or 5 years, that's an inherent cost. You know, you can't kind of say, well, that's going to cost me $5,000 a year. Well, but that I don't know if I've explained that well, but that's there is a cost to the business in doing that. So we tend to talk through these scenarios with people and say, well, if you are looking to invest, what's a manageable figure? What's that's going to cost you per month over the next 4 or 5 years? What are you going to do with that money? What's the return going to be? And if it works out and they're confident in doing it, well, the decision is, well, get some debt. So we regularly speak around that. The majority of people who come to us knowing that they need the debt and they just need us to find it for them. But regularly, you know, there are clients sat with reserves and we'll have that conversation around either option.
Absolutely. And that's a really interesting point. I'm keen to come to you, Nick, in terms of the growth of a business. Because I think that if we look over LinkedIn or we go to a networking event, every business talks about growth, don't they? What can you do as a business to ensure you are growing? But I guess a sub question to that is growth always the right thing to do for a business?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. I mean, no, in just to loop back on the reserves piece, there are two ways you can look at that. I mean, there's how much do you need to sit on to make sure that, you know, should the worst happen, as George said, that you're covered. But, you know, to go back to your point, you know, the existence of reserves does provide, well, or lack of use thereof, potentially gives rise to an opportunity cost as well. So, you know, if growth, most people are in business to grow the business to what they're able to sustainably, hopefully, you know, that's one of the underlying points. And so, you know, there's very little point sitting on huge amounts of cash or not taking the opportunities that the business potentially could, if that's going to be a stunt to growth, as it were. So, you know, I think hugely important. Is it always, should it be the absolute driver? No. I mean, look, we come across enough businesses that we see that, you know, they end up in a position where they're over trading, for example. They've grown too big too quickly. And whilst that's great because it's adding to the top line, and which is, you know, an easy sort of first port of call when you're looking at growth. Well, if that actually causes the detriment in the business, be that from cash flow or credit control or whatever, you know, over trading is a thing. And so whilst it's, everyone wants growth, it's about managing the extent to which how that happens, be that through debt, be that through trading, be that through expansion of other things. But, you know, generally speaking, something that should be strived for, but certainly keeping tabs on or making plans for how that's going to be done sustainably going forward, because it can be to the detriment at times, I suppose.
No, some really good points there. Really good points. And just in terms of that piece, I'm going to stay with you, Nick, if it's okay. And it's a question I've asked on this radio show before, so apologies, regular listeners. But it's just that turnover profit piece, because I think in the public eye, we all hear so much about our turnover is this, our turnover is this, but you rarely hear profit is that. Why does the business world focus so much on turnover rather than necessarily profit, in your view?
There's a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's a very easy measure, isn't it? It's the first thing on a profit and loss account. It's the top line number. So, it is the driver of everything else. Without turnover, you don't really have the business. But, profit is, turnover is the sort of bit you can peacock a little bit, but profit's the important one because it ultimately is a reflection on how much money you make. You can have the highest amount of turnover in the world, but if your overheads match, then and the other costs match, then if you're not making profit, then I don't think that's necessarily a reflection of a good business. And so, I think the as you say, the turnover is often highlighted, but you do need to consider the things that are driving profit, and likewise with the balance sheet as well. People often ignore the balance sheet, and a profit and loss account is a historic thing when you're looking at that, but the balance sheet is the real life. And so, in terms of reviewing how a business is doing in terms of growth or success or otherwise, the balance sheet is as useful a tool as the profit and loss. But obviously, it is sales that drive the cash, which drives the ability for growth and everything else. So, equally as important, but profit, I think, is the one to focus on when determining the success or failure, really.
Absolutely. George, you'll be pleased to know after the break we're going to talk about pensions. But before we do that, as with Chris and Nick, a very high bar, especially 1986. Can you match that bar? No
Well, I'm
pressure.
not sure how I'll match it. It's a slightly different genre, but we're obviously in quite a crazy world at the moment. There's a certain, certain political differences, and I figured probably a very apt song would be "Crazy Train" by Ozzy Osbourne.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Chris, George, and Nick, who have kindly spared their time to give years and years and years of experience with you, the listener. And if you are listening, the biggest reason that businesses fail in the world is because of money. So you really do need to take your finances seriously. I previewed before the break, George, that I was keen to talk about pensions. And I think it's really, I'm going to start with quite a big statement. And I feel like a fraud saying this in front of three finance professionals, but the biggest stat that's landed with me on doing this show is 80% of businesses in Britain that go to market are never sold. And of the 20% that are sold, only 30% are sold for more than 50% of asking price. So if we look at that, 6.6 recurring percent of businesses are sold for 50% or more of asking price. So, but most businesses we deal with and most businesses we see, their exit is selling their business. A lot of those people are failing, and one platform is a pension. What can you do as a business owner in terms of do your 60k a year into pension, and how should you decide how much you're putting into your pension? What are some of the other things you can do? Again, we're not giving financial advice, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the common themes with regards to business owners is how can I extract more now so I'm protected in the future. It's one of the things we talk to our clients about is pensions are a great diversifier. You start to reduce that reliance on that exit in 10, 15, 20 years. And one of the things actually we find that's overlooked, both just with pensions, is actually sort of capital extraction as well. A lot of business owners will stick to, I'll take a salary, I'll take a small dividend, and I'll retain more cash in the business. But through planning, we can often show them the potential taking more out, maybe paying a bit of tax now, but getting that invested for your future self can drive the compound returns we need so that the number in the future can secure your wealth. The other thing, of course, is the carry forward, which exists. So if you've had a pension in the past, then if you've got unused allowance, you can bring that forward again. So 60 this year, then it goes, I think, 60 and then 60 again, then another 40. So in theory, you could be putting in over 200,000 in your pension this tax year, which is quite sizable. And, you know, that today, I can't obviously tell you what growth rates will be, but, you know, global equities over the last 30 years have been 8%. I mean, if you achieve that, you know, you're going to be well on your way to a significant number when you do eventually decide that you're going to step away from work and sell the business.
No, really, really good insight. Really, really good insight. And actually, it's a great insurance policy, isn't it? It's a great insurance policy if you're not in that 6.6 recurring percent. And Chris, I want to stay with investments, but with a debt spin. A lot of businesses use debt to buy a property for their business, or they invest for their business. How can that work? And what kind of businesses could consider that? And what some of those considerations?
We deal with lots of businesses, and this is quite prevalent at the moment in the hospitality industry, where businesses who are currently tenants are buying their property from their landlord. It's quite, from a lending point of view, it's quite, that is a good, it can be quite an easy move, in as much that if you're a business that's been paying rent continually, I don't know, let's say for 5 or 10 years, when we look to see if you can afford the mortgage to buy that property, well, chances are you've been evidencing your ability to repay already by virtue of the fact you've been paying rent. So that is, you're then, from a business point of view, that's a tick in the box. But ultimately, you have an asset that you're trading from that is sat in your balance sheet, or perhaps in a different company name. And Nick may want to touch on that separately. But from an investment point of view, it's very popular. It's easily done. When I say easily done, subject to the business being credit worthy. The things to consider are, the obvious thing is contribution, how much deposit you have. And the other thing that we always talk to clients about is, you know, that there's the cost of getting ownership is not to be ignored. You know, SDLT, fees for lawyers, valuation fees, surveyors fees, perhaps finance broker fees as well, can all add up, and not to be, it's all something you've got to kind of consider up front. And also ongoing maintenance, you know, if you have tenants within the asset you're buying, make sure that the leases are solid, and that, you know, that their ability, you know, that they're going to pay, and their ability to pay ongoing is something you're comfortable with, and it's not something to be sniffed at. You know, it's something you have to give it a lot of diligence to. But yeah, we see a lot of that, and it's very popular, and it's a strong move for a business to acquire a trading asset.
Absolutely. Nick, I'm going to go completely off topic here and put you on the spot. From an accountancy point of view, every business needs an accountant, of course they do, but what are the levels of things you could do with an accountant? I appreciate you've got finance director or virtual finance director one day, and just meeting the law the other end, but I think a lot of our business guests don't really know what you could do with an accountant. So what are some of the things that your accountant could help you with, or what's the sort of things that your firm could help them with? Of course.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, a fairly wide-ranging answer. Experience shows us, you know, that we work with some clients that literally want to give you their numbers at their year end, and the next time they want to hear from you is telling them how much tax they've got to pay, and it's a very transactional process. Now, to be honest, you know, the ones that I and we enjoy working with more are the ones that we can be more hands-on with. You know, the reality is we can be as involved as much or as little as is required. You know, but it certainly makes for a more, you know, we like working with ambitious businesses that are looking to grow. And so, you know, most people can work their way around a VAT return or, you know, even a set of basic statutory accounts. But I think really the value added piece is around the analysis thereon. And so I think where a lot of people probably struggle to realize the value they can get from their accountant is talking about those numbers. You know, it's from a transactional piece of putting them together. Actually, I think the greater value that people like myself and others can have is discussing what those numbers actually mean. Again, to go back to that decision-making process, you know, we can be a remarkably valuable tool to a business that's seeking to grow. And that's certainly a direction that I like to travel in, and the type of client that I like to work with is one that I can, you know, have a look under the bonnet and help them get to where they want to get to, rather than just sit and churn out a payroll or a VAT return or a set of accounts on an annual basis. So really, I think the sort of takeaway from it is to sort of, yeah, look to question and expand what can be done, really, because, you know, we're generally willing to be involved as to the greater extent possible.
Absolutely. And similar question, George. Would be the, I guess, the benefit? What can you do of working with a financial planner or financial advisor?
Yeah, I mean, our view is very much we want to, you know, give people that control, that freedom, and that time to enjoy life. So our first stage is always, you know, what's motivating you, what's worrying you. And then it's about giving that clarity, that clear vision as to where you are today, and then making those steps, sometimes quite small. You know, we don't have to do big, we don't have to do the 60 grand pension contributions, but, you know, sometimes it's doing small little things. What we can do is we can create for them their own strategy, their own journey, if you like, to get themselves from where they are today to the life they want to lead, whenever that might be. That's the bit that we love, that connecting point from today until, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, where they're sat on a beach in Spain enjoying their life and having no worries at all, can wake up and do whatever they want when they want. That's what it's all about, really.
Amazing. And last but not least, a similar question, Chris. I bet you couldn't have guessed. What's the process of working with a finance broker, and when should you work with a finance broker? Obviously, NGI.
Well, I always say that, if you're a business that is doing particularly well and your requirement for debt is fairly straightforward and you've got a fantastic relationship with your bank and your accounts are really solid and the bank are desperate to lend you money at a very keen price, you may not need a finance broker. However, that represents, I would say, 5% of the business community. I'm elaborating there, but where we come in to our own is we can help it. It's sometimes a daunting prospect for businesses to individuals to look at borrowing money through their business. We know what we're doing. We're doing this all day, every day. We talk the language of banks, which can be like Swahili sometimes. We liaise with professionals such as Nick and George, and to extract and get the right information from them at without having to bother our clients to submit a proposal that's going to get bought. And by that I mean, we prepare everything on behalf of the client to make the decision making for a lender easy. In doing so, the client will arguably get a, well, will get a better outcome. They'll get the product they need. Not, and that isn't always what they think they need at the beginning of the process, because we'll qualify them. We'll invariably get the best market price because of the scope of work and the size and debt quantums we deal with. Our lenders aren't really, they're always going to give the best price to us and indeed our clients. So that's something we press upon our clients as well. And we're just there to manage that whole process. And it's rare that we can't. Well, we always add value to that transaction, and the client does and must see that we are adding value. And then we qualify that at the beginning to make sure this is how we're going to help you and this is what you need. And equally, we'll say to people that if we feel that what they're asking for isn't right, and I often say to people, you know, you're asking for some debt here at the moment, and I don't think that's the right answer. You know, debt is not the answer at the moment. I think you should sit tight, sit in your hands for another year, and come back to talk to me then, because I think you perhaps are going to be over leveraged. We are bound by some very tight regulation through FCA, which we have to abide by. Not every broker does or chooses to. It's a voluntary thing. But yeah, we're adding value to that whole process, and always have good outcomes for our clients.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, no, thank you so much, the three of you, for sharing so much insight there. And certainly, I'm not just saying this, I would encourage anyone listening to follow you guys and reach out as and when the opportunity arises. So thank you so much for your time and contribution to the discussion. We are going to be back next week. We're going to be talking about the wonderful Oxfordshire Business Awards that go into their 30th year this year. We're going to be talking about how to apply, how to get involved as a sponsor, or purely if you're just interested in business in Oxfordshire. And to do this, we're joined by the wonderful Helen Brind of Enterprise Oxfordshire, and also recently become a director of the Oxfordshire Business Awards. Just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. You can also listen to the podcast version, which is released on the Monday morning on every major podcast platform. And if you would prefer to look at our lovely guests, do a look out for the video version, which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.